Hi, everyone. I'm Rita Brown, and I'm one of Dr. Rita Marie's NEPT students. I'm in her foundations. And somebody recently asked me how I met Dr. Rita Marie. I work in a cancer treatment center, and I was feeling very frustrated. The top three complaints I get from my patients are pain, fatigue, and nutrition. And it felt like it was going nowhere. Their encouragement was eat candy bars, drink Boost, and it was a lot of not nutritious foods. And I was feeling like there's got to be something better here. And I was actually 2.5, 3 years ago, a friend of mine sent me an email that David Weinthal was having a summit. And I'd never been on a summit before, so I signed up for it. And Dr. Rita Marie was one of his guest speakers. Immediately, I felt like this is a connection. This is what I'm looking for. Got on the phone. Actually, went on her internet, went on her site, and then got on the phone and made a call. And that was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. It wasn't only my work. It was my personal life, family members. My mother's diabetic. She had just had her leg amputated. There was a lot of autoimmune diseases in the family, and this was just the right place for me to be. And I can't tell you how wonderful this program has been. I got in their first module in the foundations, and it was on hormones. And I looked at it, and it was one of those, oh, my. And then it was another, oh, my. Where was I in nursing school? When did I miss all this? This wasn't part of our curriculum, and it's not part of our curriculum. I went back to the worst workplace, and I said to one of the nurse practitioners, I said, when you went through school, how much nutrition did you get? Oh, we got an 8-hour class on it, and that was it. We don't get it, and this was my opportunity, my window, to get what I was needing. And it has made some difference in the workplace. My favorite area in the cancer center is the GI patients, and recently, one of my GI doctors was consulting with the patient in my work area, and he said to the patient, this is the first time this has ever happened in there. The patient was complaining, I'm losing weight, I'm not getting weight, and the doctor said to him, are you drinking smoothies in the morning? What about putting some of those, you know, those protein mixes in your drink? And it was like, it was a change there. Things are evolving, it's slow, and sometimes I get very impatient with it, and I have to realize, too, they're at the place I was at before I start doing her classes. And every time I go to one, I go back, and I'm all excited, and all my staff members that I work with, they'll say, well, where were you? And it couldn't be a better decision I made. And I just want to welcome Dr. Rita Marie.
Job. Hi, I'm Beverly O'Brien. I've met a lot of you, and we had a lot of fun this weekend, right? What a great time. Did you learn a lot and have as much fun as I did? I hope. Well, I had kind of a similar story in that I am a physician assistant, as I mentioned, and I kept waiting to learn the information that y'all are seeing us, you know, seeing presented here before you and having the pleasure of learning. And I'll tell you, I was in school for 5 years waiting to get this lecture, and it never came. And I moved to California and went to a delightful raw food festival in a beautiful town called Sebastopol. If any of you know California or Sebastopol, it's a beautiful little town, and they had a nice raw food festival with all this talented spiritual people, and it was really great. And I came upon a lecturer by the name of Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I saw all the credentials. So you had to choose lectures because I think there were many at the same time. So I went ahead and with very deep thought, went to her lecture. And you know what? She wouldn't stop talking. She wouldn't stop giving. And her information was just chilling. It was so spot on, and I'm like, why couldn't we have had this in school, okay? all those years of looking for this kind of information, I had a little knowledge. People would come to me and say, what would you do for that, you know, instead of this prescription or that surgery? And you know, I was always the woo-woo one, probably. They were talking behind my back, I'm sure. So anyway, when I met Dr. Reed Marie, I was so excited. I knew I had to stay with her. At that point, we didn't have all this wonderful information yet. You were just starting. It was brand new. I was one of the first in the group. And it was energy. What was that? Exactly. And so I sent, put my email on the list, and, well, you know what happens after that. And so I was really excited to be a part of her, everything she did. And when the practitioner program came to be, I was the first one. I was like, yes, let's do this. It's going to be amazing. We have got to get this word out to all the practitioners out there that need this. And anybody else who's willing to listen and help us heal the world. Because, as you know, it's a very broken system. And now we're having a wonderful time here learning all of this and spreading the word and getting healthy. And I just wish you all much luck, love, and blessings. And I hope you enjoy this journey as much as I have. And without further ado, Dr. Rita.
What do you do now, right? What do you do to integrate this and bring it back home? And so we're going to go through some of this stuff. Some of it, I'm not going to go through every single slide that's in here. I like to create reference materials that you can take away. Right? If we were to go through every slide I had in here, we would be here for days. But I'm going to take you back to day one. So you're going to get back out there and you're going to say, what do I do and how do I really work with the assessments with people? And the first thing I like to do with people after you've made the connection and had a little conversation and maybe collected a history is find out what their obstacles are. What's getting in the way of what they're doing? Yeah, you want to establish what they want, to establish the gap, but then to assess what's getting in the way. So I like to do this 7 pillars assessment that I gave you. And you can have somebody fill this out, and you can use it on yourself to start. Who filled it out while you were here? We gave that as homework, but I didn't figure anybody would actually do it. So fill it out on yourself so you get a sense of what it feels like, how long it will take, so you can tell people. Fill it out and figure out which are the areas that they need the most help in. And you can put the scores on this page, this summary page. And you go, okay, you know, I was going to just start with this person with water, but man, this person is really not sleeping at all. Or you can, it helps you to just differentiate where you should start. Okay? So that's where I would start. Then I would start to, you know, use some of the health tracking stuff in there. Those of you who are VIP, which is most of you, are going to get an email that has, where is it, access to that thing I showed you the other day. Was a compilation of all the different tracking forms that I use in just a PDF format. So you can keep track of things. We have those nutrition scorecards. It's always nice to know when you're designing a diet for someone, what are they most likely deficient in? What are they showing signs that they might be deficient in? And then you can help them to design a diet with those nutrients. There's some really good online access resources. I love whfoods.com. It's a really simple place. You go in and you can actually plug in the nutrient and find lists of all the foods. We do that in our micronutrients module, so people who are in the program can go to the micronutrients and you see those charts. I actually bought their book because I was, you know, tired of looking for it, so I just opened up the pages and then recommend some foods that the person might want to use to emphasize the nutrients that they're low in. We have this nutrient scorecard that you can keep track of. This is just the beginning part of it. What I gave you is it's a longer sheet that has all the nutrients listed, and you can actually list what their score is and where it's at, so you can kind of, if you're trying to identify specific priorities. The thing is, if they show up that they're very low in everything, what are we thinking? Gut stuff in particular, leaky gut, but what else? Malabsorption. What's one of the most common reasons for low mineral status? low stomach acid, right? So yeah, you're looking at all those different factors for the gut rather than, oh, you're deficient in all these things. Now, if you get somebody who's coming in eating Wonder Bread and Twinkies, it's likely because of their, it may not be a stomach acid problem, maybe just a supply problem. So we want to look at a supply problem versus a conversion problem, similar to what we do with thyroid. And then there's one that you can keep track of it over time. And you can say, well, you know, we maybe need to do some additional supplementation with this or some additional concentrated food extracts for particular nutrients that aren't working. And figure out, you know, sometimes if it really boils down to there's one or two that aren't coming up and the rest are, maybe there's some other interfering factors. So you can go to the micronutrients module and look up that particular nutrient and say, oh, well, that's copper and that's getting interfered with zinc and maybe there's an imbalance between copper and zinc. And so you can dig deeper. You'll have the tools to dig deeper with that. And these are your scorecards. So once you've identified these, I'm just giving you these sheets that show you, well, for each of these pillars, what are some of the things that you're going to look at? And what are some of the solutions? So how are you going to find these pillars out of balance and what kind of things can you do with them? So low stress, well, you can do heart math, you can do tapping, you can have them meditate, you can do yoga, you can help them to get connected to what they want. There's a whole bunch of stuff right there. So what I've given you, and it's in your sheets, it's in your slides, so you'll be able to print these out if you want to, I've given you just kind of a guideline for doing this. I also have given you a sheet where you can kind of keep track of, it's kind of a tracking sheet, and you could just make a list of the couple of things out of what you could do for these people and be able to give that to them, and I'll show you that in a moment. So we've got the values and visions, they're having trouble connecting. Well, what can you do? You can do, I have this thing I call a positive aspects journal, where I just every day have them write some positive aspects of them, because so much of it is just their self-esteem is like shot. They just don't really see the positive. They're always looking at that negative stuff about themselves. And a lot of it comes from adverse childhood events. Has anybody read that book on, oh, Is Childhood Disrupted? Everybody should read that book because it just really explains why some people are, you know, you don't want to use the word broken, but that's a word that's used a lot, why they come in and their health, it's not just their attitude and their emotions that are broken, it's their health is broken as a result of these adverse childhood events. I would highly recommend you read that book. And then sleep, right? Sleep isn't, there's two reasons people have sleep problems. One is they don't go to bed. And number two is once they're in bed, they don't sleep. And then you have to look at, well, if they don't go to bed, you're looking at a very different situation than they can't fall asleep. Because people say to me all the time, I said, oh, I didn't get enough sleep last night. They go, oh, well, you should try some melatonin. You should. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My problem is not falling asleep. My problem is making my way to the bedroom. So there's two different situations, and you really do want to access that and ask those questions because, you know, you're talking about somebody and they're going, yeah, but I just, like, I'm working hard and I've got, you know, I'm busy and that sort of stuff. And they can lead to each other because once you've had the lights burning into your eyes, the red lights in the eyes till 2 a.m. and then you decide you're on a new track and you go to bed and your body is so used to being out of cycle, then you can't, so... Two different situations, lots of options. There's herbs you can do. There's looking at the mechanisms, like why are they not sleeping well? Is it a cortisol issue? Is the cortisol high? Is it as a result of an adverse childhood event that they've programmed their brain to be on guard through the night because they used to get beat up or molested or hear dad come home and beat mom during the night? You know, those are questions that are hard to ask people, but they're critical that we ask people. Because you could be trying to work with somebody in so many ways, and when you don't uncover some of that stuff and help them, it's really great. And what I love about that book is she tells you all these heart-wrenching stories throughout, but then she ties them all back and talks about how these people found resolutions, and she's a great chapter on solutions and various things. It's just a beautifully written book. Nutrition, that's what we get, you know, most of us, that's what gets us in here. It's like that excitement over nutrition. But if we don't do the other pieces, the nutrition is going to not really do what it needs to do. It's always important, but we always have to start with, like Tony said, the basics. I love what she said. Oh, you still haven't drinking the water. Okay, come back next week and we'll see what you're doing. And, you know, to not let them keep moving on, because a lot of folks, they do like a year-long program with us. We have a very structured, beautiful program for a year and all these modules and stuff. And they're like, okay, I'm ready to do the leaky gut protocol. And, you know, I really can't wait. I'm like, okay, let's go back to foundations. How much water do you drink? Oh, you know, a couple of cups a day. How much do you weigh? Like 200 pounds. A couple of cups a day doesn't work, right? So we have to really go back to those foundations and the chewing and the relaxation before eating. But the food is so important in our foundations, which you get as part of the NEPT program, but you get access to the foundations piece that we wrote for the clients. And there's just, oh, there's a module on chewing. There's a module on greens. There's a module on breakfast. There's a module on, what are some of the others? All the nutrients, like each of the nutrients, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, alkaline diet. There's just all the stuff that you have plenty of access to resources there. And but it's really important to start with the basics and not to be jumping in. I've had so many people coming to see me after they've been to like hundreds of practitioners almost. I did this and I did this test and I did this. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to help them? And they're eating gluten and sugar. Like, didn't anybody just tell you you should get off of gluten and sugar because that could be creating this inflammation? Well, no. So it's like, really don't forget to go back to the basics, even if they've had every functional lab test going and have seen every functional medicine doctor in town. And fitness is super important. Maria's been helping us keep our booties moving all weekend long. And the fitness is super important. But finding what you can do, what they can do, like telling somebody they have to go out and exercise 45 minutes a day vigorously can turn them off. But when you tell them, I want you to do four times a day, I want you to take 30 seconds and do some jumping jacks or run up and down the stairs with the potatoes, right? Potatoes are really good for your hips. They're really good for your weight when you carry a bag of them up and down the stairs, right? And you, wow, you get your heart rate up. It's really cool. So, yeah, but getting them to do that, letting them to know that 5 to 10 minutes of walking is the great start, and if studies have shown that it can do just as good for insulin receptors as the full half hour together. So just take those small bursts and let people work in those good, better, best small baby steps. Environment, like, look, we've been spending a weekend in this hotel. Fortunately, we've had that air filter running to try to freshen up the air, but typically we're in air that just isn't right. There's chemicals from the carpet, chemicals from the wall boards, from the paints, etc., the outside air, the fumes, the pesticides, who knows what they spray out there on their grass, right? And we try to control the environment as best we can, but we can't always do it. So we have to help people to do what I call everyday detox. Detox is not something you do once a year and you drink stuff and you put stuff up your bottom and you do all kinds of stuff like that. That's not the only way to detox. You have to detox every day, right? Every day is a detox. And what can you do on a daily basis? And it starts with reducing the toxic load, right? Oh, I'm taking this detox powder as I eat the pizza. Like, really? You know, I went to a fasting place or in a retreat center in Costa Rica once, and they did this beautiful raw food stuff and then juicing and then fasting. And I hear these two guys talking about where they're going to stop for pizza on their way home. I'm like, are you kidding me? You've just spent all this money and all this time and all this torture doing a detox for 3 weeks, and you're going to stop for pizza on your way home? It's like, yeah, we just do this 2 or 3 times a year. We figure, you know, that's going to cover us, right? So educate people. No, you know, not so. And then fun. I like to start with fun, because fun dissipates the stress, right? Start with the fun. Like, we're going to have fun together, and this program is going to be awesome. And here's a couple of things I want you to do. And they're going, well, that's kind of easy. Like, you're not telling me not to do anything that I want to do, and you're not telling me to do something I don't want to do. So, wow, this is pretty cool. So start with the fun. When we did the assessments at our Spring Into Vitality event in a room of, what, 75 people, most of them had low scores in fun. Like, okay, it's fun. Let's just do it. We have a fun assessment in the site that we go through and have them fill it out. And people take a long time doing it because it's been so long since they've connected to what they think is fun. I mean, I don't mean fun like watch TV, right? And then get bombarded with commercials for all kinds of crap that sends you into the kitchen with cravings. No, fun like simple stuff. right? So we have to work with that. So simple things, get them started, get them to have progress and get them to have success, and then they'll do the next and the next and the next. So all this stuff is super important. Here's a little worksheet. That's a sample. It's in your handouts, but it's a sample that you can use with people and keep it in your chart if you want to. Like little notes about what they've done and what you want to do with them to just sort it by this, because it all kind of blends together after a while. Okay, we have a chart that we can hand out that you're going to love. Again, it's another one of my pyramids. I had so much fun making these things. So, you already got this one, but you're going to get another one in a second. And this is my thing. Where's that one? There it is. That's the next one. This one's so cool. So that's going to be handed out. You got this other one a couple of days ago. And it's just fun because it's a summary. This is his assessment, so each of the pillar things, each of the steps in the pillar, like what are some of the things you can do to assess them? And now you're going to get, what are some of the things you can do in those areas to balance, right? So I've listed things taken from my programs, like my various programs for each of the levels. I have a program for each of the levels except sex hormones. I left that to Allison to create. She's one of our NEPT practice accelerator. She's an MD, functional medicine, bioidentical hormone doc. So she created it. So I'm like, I don't need to create it. I'll let her create that one, right? So we have protocols. We have things that you can do at each of these areas, and you pick the ones that are right for each person. So it's just, Lynn says she keeps hers just pinned up to her, above her desk. So I think you're going to enjoy this. And remember, so this is digestion. I took out all these animations, so these are not the right level slides because they take too long to do them. They're cool, but they take forever. So these are all the things you can do for assessing digestion, HCL challenge, transit time test, stool testing, and then some of the blood tests that would show digestive imbalance. Next, you can keep these. This one is really cool, and you're going to want to print this out. When you have them fill out this digestive questionnaire that you have in your handouts, you can actually have the mark up on here their score and keep track of it. So like say they have a score of 50% of all the possible questions for low stomach acid they've got. Well, you put the 50% there, but compare it to maybe they only have 20% of the liver, and it lets you see this. But here's the other cool part. This looks like a bunch of nothing to you right now, but this is actually a really cool chart because it helps you to take all the digestive protocols along with all the, on one axis and on the other axis is all the different areas that you can find out of balance, so that low stomach acid, high stomach acid, pancreatic function. And you can map it out, and wherever it's green, it says that protocol, that particular option may be a good thing to do to rebalance that part of the digestive tract. The ones that are red say don't, like don't do an HCL challenge on somebody that shows up with high stomach acid, right? You're just going to aggravate the situation. And then some of the others are pink, which says just use it with caution. The dark greens are like especially good, and the greens are like it could be fine. Is this making sense? Yeah? So it's just a nice little cheat sheet. I love cheat sheets because cheat sheets help me to just have a little booklet and I can flip through it. I don't have to think as much as I like to think. Sometimes I just want to have thought once and then written it down and not have to think it again. Yeah, so you have this in your slide collection that's on the site, so you'll be able to print it out in a good 8.5 by 11, and it's very useful. This was stool testing. Steph went over this. I just threw these in here in case she didn't get to it that I would show you, but this is the stool testing that you can do with digestion. This is some of the symptoms that would, or the lab, I'm sorry, the blood test, blood chemistry labs, that would suggest that there's a digestive imbalance all put on one sheet. And then we have blood sugar. So what do we do for blood sugar? Well, we get them to map their postprandial glucose. Lynn and I came up with the acronym MPG, map postprandial glucose. So you basically calculate their MPG, their miles per gallon, right? Map postprandial glucose. Calculate their MPG, right? What's their MPG? And then look at their waist hip ratio, and then the blood test, the glucose, the hemoglobin A1C, the insulin, fasting and postprandial. Antibodies, you can have antibodies when there's a late onset of an autoimmune diabetes. We call that LADA, L-A-D-A. We talk a lot about that in the insulin resistance program. And basically you're looking for, are there antibodies that are attacking your own insulin? Are there antibodies that are attacking the islet cells that produce the insulin? So those are some of the other tests that help us with blood sugar. Okay, and this is just a chart for you. Again, a little cheat sheet chart that would show you when you look at the labs and the where the ranges are. The ideal range is listed, but also the normal, what they consider normal, but also what would you see in something like insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome or diabetes. Then we took at the adrenals, and we looked at a lot of testing for the adrenals. So we have the saliva, cortisol, and DHEA. You could look at the Dutch test. You can look at the blood tests. It's all of this stuff fits together, and it's a really good way to assess and can see how their progress is going, the sodium, potassium, chloride ratios. And then thyroid. What do we do for thyroid? So there's the self-assessment forms, and I like to look at temperatures, both the first morning temperature, like Broda Barnes wrote in his book, Hypothyroidism, the Unsuspecting Illness, and then more of the during the day that is proposed in the Wilson's Temperature Syndrome, where we look to see how their average temperatures are throughout the day. And he makes a good point. I studied with him, and I did his certification in the Wilson's Temperature Syndrome a few years back, and he makes a good point. He says, when we look at different lab ranges, usually there's like a few points makes it go from, or a few percentage points actually makes it go from abnormal to normal. But we look at temperature and we think, oh, it's 98.6 is what we think. That's normal. But if we're 98.0, we think that's perfectly normal too. And his take is that's actually a big percentage of the total off. It's not really just a little bit. So we look at that and say, well, if it's 98, what does that mean about the metabolic rate? What does that mean about the amount of T3 that's actually reaching their cells? So that's one of the things that you can learn to do. And then all the blood tests, we looked at the complete thyroid panel that you would be running. There's a little bit about the self-assessment and how you do the body temperature, and you can make yourself a little graph. There's the labs. And then we're going to look at what's next, sex hormones. We'll look at those real quickly, okay? So there's the saliva testing. I don't do that much anymore. I really feel like I like the Dutch testing, the urine testing much more. Blood testing, I don't look at much except for maybe the DHEAS. Cortisol, I just don't think is a good thing to do in the blood at all. But there's some other tests that you can do. The 24-hour urine, the Dutch, we looked at those the other day. Cycle mapping is where we're measuring their progesterone and their estrogen throughout the cycle. Because remember Dr. Anna Kabeka said the other day about how we have a peak at about day 19 where the both hormones peak and then they come back down. So we're mapping to see. And you can actually tell by looking at the cycle mapping, are they ovulating? You know, because if they're ovulating, they'll have a particular pattern of leading up and down. Do they have a luteal phase defect? What's happening if the progesterone's dropping in the luteal phase instead of staying high, then they wouldn't be able to hold on to a pregnancy, and they may be having miscarriages. And then we have the blood test, which, of course, you can measure. Estrogen, which usually is estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and sex hormone binding globulin. And sex hormone binding globulin, or any binding globulins, actually carry hormones around in the blood. And the sex hormone binding globulin has a higher affinity to testosterone than to estrogen. So if somebody has perfectly normal testosterone levels, but they're showing that they have signs and symptoms of low testosterone, then it may be an elevation of sex hormone binding globulin. There's not as much research about that as I would like to see, but more and more will be coming out, I'm sure. I left this in here to just give you an idea of the typical female hormone testing, the blood stuff and the saliva, and then the males and the various things you'd be looking for. And that's a lovely chart. It's a little less complicated than the one I gave you yesterday. This is what I used to look at. And then when they came out with that Dutch one, I like it. But this comes from the Meridian Valley in the 24-hour. So it's a little more simplified, and you can see what goes to what. The thing about biochemical pathways is they're so awesome for evaluating function. And that's what the OAT test is based on. It's based on highs and lows, and what's the biochemistry of how things go from one to the other. What are the cofactors? So you can say, well, this is high, but this is low, but this gets converted to this. Well, there must be a blockage in that conversion from the one that's high and the one that's low. You can do the same thing when you look at Krebs cycle markers as well. You go, oh, this is high, this is low. What's the nutrients? What are the cofactors that actually help it? And you go, oh, maybe this person has a B6 deficiency or a B12 deficiency or a folate or B2 or whatever that nutrient is. So that's why I love biochemistry pathways. You don't have to love biochemical pathways to make this successful. I'm just a little geeky and I love it, but it gives me a lot of information, because when I start to see that, that's when the person comes in and they're doing, like I told you about, they were doing Vitex and they started losing their hair. So I started just thinking through, because I knew the biochemistry. I'm like, ah, they're losing their hair. They must have, you know, I knew it wasn't a thyroid thing, because I knew that Vitex wasn't going to impact your thyroid. So I knew, thought, well, what if it's DHT, dihydrotestosterone? And I was able to think through because I understood the pathway. You may not be able to do that in your head, but if you had the paper, you certainly would. And then the organs, and there's so many ways you assess the organs, the kidney function, you look at their blood pressure, you look at their heart rate, pulse, et cetera, all those things. But then you also look on the blood, the liver panel, the kidney panel, the electrolytes, and all of that. So you've got things, and you've got this organized now, right? And now you know when you find these imbalances, where do you do? Here's a list of lab testing resources. We have it in your packet. You have this in your packet as well, this lab testing sheet that you can actually take people. It seems like it might be a waste of paper initially, but it's not. It's a good exercise when you're working with people, is to just take the sheet and write it down, write their numbers on it, and then you can outline what the possible causes are that I have off to the right. And that way you're learning as you go. Right? It's a really good way to learn. It may be, like I said, waste of paper, but you can do it on a PDF if you can edit it. And if you're in the program, you'll have access to the Excel spreadsheet that we put together for it. But it's a great way to learn. Just this sheet that I gave you is gold. Just looking at that, it's such a good summary. You don't have to fish through all these thick books and try to figure out what all these things mean. It gives you an overview functionally. And then we're going to bring it all home. I want you to take this, and I want you to use this information. I want you to not just say this is a nice little binder and throw it on the shelf. I want you to think about, like, what are some steps that you can do? And so I'd love you to do that right now, is to just stop and open up your book and just write down, like, one thing that you can do over the next week that can reinforce what you learned here or that can bring it into your practice. And just take, like, 2 minutes to do that, and then I'll have you share. And then then I'm going to ask for a couple of shares. So if we have a couple of mic runners, that would be great. Okay, we're good? So who would like to share one thing that they're going to do? Okay, let's come up here and then back to Patty.
Hi, I'm Z. I have five results from five different lab tests, and my SNPs run from 23andMe run through five different filters.
You can tell she's a
engineer.
Tech.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back through everything. I've been through all of them with my functional medicine doctor, so I'm already familiar with the stuff that he identified, and I'm going to go back through all of it and identify what else I can from what I learned this weekend.
Great.
And then I'm sending him a big fat email about, and what do we do with this stuff? Can we get some focus on that in the next meeting?
Fantastic. Great. Taking charge of her health. Okay, so we had Patty back here. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Keep Your Assessments Organized kit, and I'm going to take all my notes from my clients that I haven't been using that, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start putting everything into those notes so I can organize it.
Fantastic.
I'm a little bit
fantastic. Unorganized. And if you prefer, you can actually do it in the spreadsheet online.
I'm going to do it online, yeah.
Yeah.
On the spreadsheet.
Yeah, so. Perfect. Yay.
Thank you.
Okay, who else? Let's take one or two more shares. Okay, over here to Chet.
Hi, I'm Chet. I think what I was missing all this time looking at the labs were all the hidden gems, which you can kind of assess deeply. Seems like it's, you know, we don't pay attention normally and we say everything's fine.
Yeah.
So that would be actually very important to assess other deficiencies or anything which comes of it. So.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. I remember when Rita first did the blood chemistry module, she'd come into a call and she said, "Oh my God, can you believe they missed this and they missed that? And I look in all these labs and it's not even the subtle stuff, some of it. And how could they do that?" Because it was like, oh my God.
We have a question.
Who else? There was one more hand I saw.
Right here.
Oh, okay, you got it. Good.
I'm going to take all the assessments myself and then get my partner to do it.
Great. Yeah. Perfect. Great. Okay, everybody else, I want you to just turn to the person next to you and just tell that person what you committed to, just like 10 seconds each. Make sure you have made a commitment so you've said it to another individual. You already did, but you can talk to each other. Wondering if they're gonna. What's that?
What time will you be having a session tomorrow at your house? They probably don't want to announce it.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock,
and
give them the address.
And
tell them if they have brought bathing suits to make sure they bring them in case they want a hot tub after. Okay. All right, so start to wrap it. And tune into how that felt to actually speak it out loud. So it's not just this thing you wrote on a piece of paper here, and then when you got back, it's like, I don't remember what I said, right? Oh, 3 years later, you open up the book, and then you go, oh, I never did that. Okay. Good? Did it feel good to speak it out loud? Yes? We're still speaking, so it must have felt good, right? Fantastic. We're about to end this section, and I have one last fun thing that we're going to do. We have to end with fun, of course. And then we're going to go outside. Can everybody do the wrap of their conversations? I appreciate how enthusiastic you are. I do want to make sure I honor the time commitment. So we're going to wrap it up in here. Then we're going to go outside onto the patio, and I have a really cool little closing circle that I want to do, okay? So I want everybody to join me out there. But before we do, I want to give you a graphical example, but hopefully you can all see this. Can everybody see what this is? Jenga, okay. So I want you to, there's a myth about, like, the person looks good and they feel good and they just don't know that there's anything wrong in there, right? So the tower is standing and we're supposed to pull it out, like, without touching, but we're not going to do the full game. But it's still standing, so you take out the sleep and you take out the water and, they eat some gluten and they have a little sugar and a little bit of things start to fall apart. And then there's always that straw that broke the camel's back. That's the thing. The straw that broke the camel's back, right? It's like they're going along. And all of a sudden this one thing, all I did was stay up late. And it fell apart. So we pull out this one and it topples over. Right? You don't want them to be that way, right? You want them to be able to be healthy. You want yourselves to be able to be as healthy as possible. The subtle signs that we gave you this weekend helped you to see those subtle imbalances before even they notice. They may be noticing digestive stuff, but they've got a whole bunch of else going on. They may not notice digestive stuff, but they've got skin breakouts that they just think is because of the new lotion that they started to use. But really, it has to do with their gut. So we want you to be looking for those subtle signs and helping people to heal before they're broken, before they're fully broken. Because once they've got cancer, yes, there's a lot of alternative cancer therapies that possibly could help, but maybe it doesn't, right? Maybe it doesn't. And you just don't want to get there. And just make a commitment to yourself first that I want to look at my own things, my own imbalances, my own obstacles, my own bad habits, and just let's get rid of them one by one. And then when you start to do it yourself and you go through it, you realize what they're going through and you can empathize and be in compassion with them and not be so hard on them when they won't do it, but also not be too easy on them. Well, yeah, just a little bit of gluten won't hurt you. And don't worry about that little bit of sugar. It just shoots your blood sugar up to 167 and thickens your arteries and, you know, causes your retinal nerves to be damaged every time, right? It's just one time every time is a little bit of damage, a little bit of damage, a little bit of damage. 10, 20, 30, 50 years later, it's a lot of damage. And you know, it's just really being involved with helping them early on so that we can make a huge difference in the world and not have them be at the mercy of the medical system, which is awesome when they're completely broken and debilitated. It is. That's where they shine. When my arm was broken, I had no choice. There was no natural medicine that was going to take my bone and put it back where it belonged. I tried. I had an energy worker do stuff on it, and I did all kinds of stuff. And no, there was no. That was the place for it. And there's times when they get to the point where they're so ill that if you tried to do it naturally, it would take too long and they'd die first and they have to get the medical intervention. That's where we want them to stay away from. That's where we want to get to the point where take the little early warning signs. You're equipped with a lot of stuff to help them see those early warning signs and go for it. We are changing lives. You are changing lives. We are the future of healthcare. We are totally the future of healthcare. It is us. Whoops. It is us who is out there. So I want you to go out and be your brilliance, be your beautiful self, step into your greatness, and change lives.